This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. 8 weeks from today, California voters get the opportunity to throw Governor Gray Davis out of office, and they can also vote on who would replace him. Over the weekend, scores of applicants rushed to file as candidates, and we've all followed the spotlight as it fell on porn stars, smut peddlers, commentators, professional politicians, and professional actors. But the focus thus far has been on personalities. We've heard very little about the issues. California, after all, faces enormous financial deficits and a huge energy problem. Guns, crime, the environment, education, taxes, they're all issues too. But with nearly 200 candidates, will substance ever be the issue? Later in this program, we'll talk with three of the candidates about their issues and about how they plan to distinguish themselves amongst this crowd. But first, we'll try to straighten out some process questions. What was that lottery-like device that was swirling at a news conference in Sacramento yesterday? And what did it have to do with the election? Why is there a new alphabet today? If you have questions about the ballot process, give us a call or send us an email. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from San Francisco is NPR correspondent Richard Gonzalez. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation, as always, Richard.
Always a pleasure.
Please explain what was going on. It did look like a lottery drawing yesterday.
That's exactly what it was, Neil. Yesterday, Secretary of State Kevin Shelley conducted a random drawing to establish the order in which the candidates' names will appear on the ballot. And anyone who's seen a lottery drawing on TV would recognize this transparent barrel filled with little canisters, each containing a letter from the alphabet. And the letter corresponds to the first letter in the last name of the candidates. So when the letter R was drawn first, that meant that several candidates with the last names beginning with R go to the top of the list. But in this lottery-style drawing, the reordered alphabet applies throughout a candidate's name, so that a candidate with a last name such as Rainforth, you'd think would go first, but no. O was drawn before A. Therefore, David Laughing Horse Robinson, a Democrat and chairman of the Kauai Sioux Indian Tribe from Kern County, is listed first.
So all the advantage of listing your candidacy under the name of Aardvark was dissipated in this. And they're going to be in different order in different districts?
That's right. It gets even more complicated. The established order is operative only for the first assembly district. Because when the order is rotated for each of California's 80 assembly districts, Robinson goes to the bottom of the list in Assembly District 2, and a gentleman by the name of James Rainforth takes the number one spot in Assembly District 1. Oh, no, I got that wrong.
Okay. Why'd you get it right?
Okay. Robinson is number one in Assembly District 1. Mm-hmm. He goes to the bottom of the list in Assembly District 2. Rainforth goes to the top of the list in Assembly District 2.
And then it proceeds through all of the multitude of assembly districts with somebody else's name at the top of the ballot. This to give no one a statewide advantage, right?
That's right. And with 247 candidates at last count, that means that a lot of candidates will never see the top of the ballot in any district.
247, is that a definitive number?
That's the number what we are seeing from the Secretary of State's website. 115 candidates have been completed. Their papers have been completed, and another 132 are under review. That gives us a 247.
So this ballot, it's going to look like the Manhattan phone book.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. You know, and getting back to this order of the candidates on the ballot, you know, we won't know until a late Wednesday the exact order until Secretary Shelley announces how many candidates have in fact been certified. So when we know who has been certified, then the calculation begins as to where the most prominent candidates will appear on the ballot. Schwarzenegger, Bustamante, McClintock, Simon, Uberoth, Huffington, where will they appear on the ballot in the vote-rich assembly districts of Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, San Jose, Fresno, etc., etc. And again, since their names are rotated, they'll appear in different places in different districts. So there's many, many variables here.
So also remind us, if someone votes on whether or not to recall Gray Davis, that's the first part of the ballot. Even if you say no, you're still allowed to go and vote for somebody who then might replace him if the yes votes win on the first part.
That's exactly right. And that's what the Democrats are counting on to save Gray Davis. And if they can't save Gray Davis, they will. They hope the people will vote for Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante. You can vote yes or no on the recall. Either way, you get to announce your preference for a replacement candidate.
Let's get a couple of phone calls in. Josenta joins us from Long Beach, California.
Oh, hi, Neil.
Hi.
I was wondering, actually two parts. First of all, what happened with Gray Davis's court case to get his name on the ballot?
Okay, let's take that one first.
That was struck down by the state Supreme Court.
And number two, Josenta?
Okay, it was struck down, so let's say his name is not on the ballot. Could the recall win by a majority of 51%, and that would be like 49% said that they did not want the recall?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who succeeded him, could they win by, let's say, 11% of plurality?
That's exactly what can happen.
Wow.
Pretty strange.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Let's get another caller in, and this is Joel, who's with us from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
I'm wondering what prevents a permanent sort of recall from happening every year in California motivated by the other party's rich financier.
Nothing. Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante, in a press conference just a couple of weeks ago, when he was saying he was against the recall and would not put his name forth as a replacement candidate, warned that if this recall goes through, there is a very good possibility that, in his words, the other side will call or try to mount a recall campaign for whoever becomes governor. And that's a very real possibility.
Pretty strange.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Joel. And let's see if we can get Stephen on the line. He's with us from San Francisco. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Neil. My question was, if you don't vote in one part of the ballot, either the yes, no, or the candidate selection, will your preference in the other part of the ballot still be counted?
You've stumped me. My understanding was that if you do not vote for the recall, that you can still you can still vote for a replacement, but need to check on that
like
one.
Like, not if you vote no, but if you leave it completely blank.
If you leave it completely blank, we need to check on that. That's one area that's been fuzzy to me too, and I have not talked with an election law expert since the state Supreme Court said that you could vote for a replacement candidate regardless of how you voted on the recall, but whether you can abstain there on the recall and then vote for replacement, I don't know.
Right, or I think another thing some people want to know is, can they, if they just vote no on the recall and don't select a replacement candidate, will their no, you know, still count?
The no still counts, yes.
Okay.
Okay, Stephen, thanks very much. And the other thing, Richard, is I assume California is a huge state. Do they have the same kind of voting machines and voting procedures in every assembly district?
No. And that's where there's going to be, that's where there's a huge rub there. You know, only four of California's 58 counties will be using touchscreen systems. That means that 54 counties will be using the old punch card system, the system that brought Florida voters hanging chads and mm-hmm. all the controversy about what constituted a valid vote. And county officials are warning that with more than 200 candidates, there's no way they'll be able to fit all those names on a single ballot card. And so that means we don't know whether, you know, some voters will go to the ballot booth and encounter 5 pages of candidates or 15 pages of candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And so county officials are warning they foresee hand counting these ballots lasting for several days. And they're also a warning that many precincts will be consolidated. So people who are accustomed to going to their local club or church to vote may find their usual polling place closed because these the polling places have been consolidated. Secretary Shelley has already acknowledged that there will be problems, to say nothing of the cost, which is currently estimated at about $66 million.
If Stephen is still with us, we've gotten an answer from our political editor, Ken Rudin, who sent me a message saying that you can vote on the second question even if you skip the first question. So that, that's been resolved. You say some of the obviously they're not going to be able to fit all the names on one page of a ballot or on one screen of a touch screen, right?
That's right.
So clearly the touch screen counties, the person getting the most vote is going to be called next.
We'll see how many votes he or she gets.
Richard Gonzalez, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil.
NPR's Richard Gonzalez joining us from San Francisco. We'll be joined throughout the remainder of this hour by two keen observers of this recall race and of politics in California. From the north, we have Jack Cavanaugh. He covered California politics as a reporter for more than 20 years and now runs the political news website Rough and Tumble. He's with us from our member station KXJZ in Sacramento. Good of you to be with us.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
And Raphael Sonnenschein is on the phone with us from Wheaton, Illinois, where we've interrupted his vacation. Normally, he observes the political scene from Southern California, where he teaches political science at Cal State Fullerton and lives in Santa Monica. Good of you to be with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Remind us, and why don't we begin with you, Jack Cavanaugh. What were the issues that were the focus of the campaign for governor just a year ago?
There were no issues, Neil. What happened was this giant media bubble began to float over California, sort of like a UFO in the Close Encounters of the Third Kind. We are still in said media bubble, and to talk about issues, it's a little premature right now.
Would you agree with that, Rafe?
Well, I think that the issues became ideological in the Republican primary when Richard Reardon was unable to defeat conservative Bill Simon, but I do think that the energy crisis kind of overhung the previous election in the same way that the budget crisis is overhanging this one. But that doesn't mean there was a lot of intelligent discussion of what the issues and choices were.
Okay,
you know, Neil, I think Rafe would agree with me if you kind of looked at it this way, because these candidates are not going through a primary, not having to go through that process where they're dealing with the left on the right on the party. It empowers voters now to be able to do something they could realistically couldn't do in the last couple of elections, vote for someone that they like.
Rafe Sonnenschein, forgot to ask Richard Gonzalez another question. All of these candidates' names, are they going to have D or G or R or I next to their names? Are they going to be identified by party?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been trying to find the answer to that question myself because that has a very important impact. Probably especially among independent voters, because obviously lots of people would like to not have a party designation on their name. Clearly, Bustamante would love to have the word Democrat under it. The main information I had is that, yes, there would be party designations, but I'm not sure if that's really true.
Hmm.
I wish I had the answer to that one.
I guess when we see a sample ballot, we'll finally know. As thus far, again, with more than 200 candidates in the field, Jack Cavanaugh, have any issues begun to emerge other than obviously on the first part of the ballot? It's do you like Gray Davis or not? But after that, have candidates begun to distinguish themselves in terms of I want to handle the fiscal crisis this way?
Well, yeah. There has been some discussion about that. Cruz Bustamante has made some points. Arianna Huffington has made some points. Tom McClintock has a long history of his positions, especially on fiscal issues. But you got to keep in mind that as far as Arnold is concerned, and the L.A. Times made a stab at it today, looking at some of quotes that they were able to pull out of newspaper files on some of the issues. But there's really no specific position on from him as yet. And since he tends to be getting all the attention in this race right now, he's the lead on this. And until he begins to bring up an issue, take a position on a particular issue, it's hard for the other candidates to respond.
Or position themselves, as political professionals like to say. When we come back from a short break, we'll continue talking about what issues may emerge in the California gubernatorial election. There's certainly been a lot of attention on the personalities, but what about the issues? And we'll take more of your calls. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And later in the program, we'll also be talking with three candidates, Arianna Huffington, Audie Bach, and Tom McClintock. You've heard a couple of those names already. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about what the issues are in the California's governor's race, if there are any, and if there's going to be room for them in the public dialogue with more than 200 candidates already registered to run for to replace Gray Davis if he should lose the recall election. If you'd like to join the discussion, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Will it be budget, family leave act, the environment, or something else entirely that will determine your choice in the voting booth if you're from California? Again, 800-989-8255. Still with us, Jack Kavanaugh, longtime political reporter and observer in California who runs the website Rough and Tumble. He's at member station KXJZ in Sacramento. And Rafe Sonnenschein is on the phone with us from his vacation in Wheaton, Illinois. He lives in Santa Monica, is a political science professor from Cal State Fullerton. And Rafe, certain constituencies are going to want certain questions answered, whether they be Latino voters or African Americans or people who support or oppose abortion rights.
Oh, you bet. I mean, I made a list of issues that pretty soon are going to emerge because there's really only about a half dozen serious candidates in this race, if that. And they're going to be all over Arnold Schwarzenegger to start taking positions on, for example, the car tax, which is of great concern. That's going to take effect. The tripling of the car tax will be October 1st. Even an old issue like Prop 187, which was a ballot measure 9 years ago to deny public services to undocumented residents that Arnold Schwarzenegger supported, he's going to be asked about that. They're going to be asked about a number of things that organized labor is very concerned about, such as the new family leave law that's going to go into effect in California next year. Who favors, who opposes that? There's a couple of bills coming forward on health insurance in California. And then, of course, there's the big social issues like gay rights and abortion. And believe me, the conservative voters in the Republican Party, as they showed in November 2002 when they voted against Richard Reardon in the Republican primary, are going to be really fighting hard to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to take positions and the other candidates as well. So taxes, spending, health insurance, family leave, immigration, gay rights, abortion, and don't forget the energy crisis, which still is a part of this. These aren't just issues, Neil. These are choices. And when we say issues, it tends to sound academic. But what we're really saying is, what are your choices going to be in these areas, as opposed to a statement that I just dug out of the paper, I will be there for everybody, young and old, men and women alike. It doesn't make a difference.
That from candidate Schwarzenegger, I assume.
Yes, and it reminds me of what somebody said about Ross Perot, that he had a 15-minute act that had to go a half an hour. Now, 8 weeks is a short time, but it's a lot longer than a half hour. And that quote I read, in light of those choices that are out there, he's going to be under the pressure from the center, the right, and the left to sort of address these in some ways as choices.
Jack Kavanaugh, other than the last set of issues that Rafe was mentioning, those other issues are, you know, how are various constituencies going to come down?
Well, you know, I agree totally with everything that Rafe has brought up. And let me add one more. The other issue in the campaign is the other candidate. If you're not Arnold Schwarzenegger right now, and you are a candidate for governor, you only have one issue, and that's Arnold. And as long as that focus continues, the other issues are not going to get the voice that they need and deserve.
Well, joining us now is the first of three gubernatorial candidates we'll speak with today. There's a word we're all going to have to learn how to pronounce a little bit better. We don't have time for all the other 200-odd, but Arianna Huffington joins us. She's a syndicated columnist and an author. She's running as an independent. She's with us by phone from her office in Los Angeles, and good to have you, as always, on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you so much.
You're one of the few in this large bunch who the voters could pick out of a lineup. Will you be running on issues, or are you running on name recognition?
No, I have already been running on issues. If you just read my announcement speech, if you go to arianaforgov.com, it's already full of things that I want to do in my first 100 days in office. And it starts, of course, with how to resolve the budget crisis, which is immediately connected with the need to change the way we make public policy in Sacramento, which at the moment is entirely driven by special interests and paybacks and IOUs.
Yet this state legislature is going to be the same no matter who gets elected governor, if Governor Davis is recalled. It's a question of cutting spending and raising taxes, isn't it?
Well, it's also a question of setting the right priorities, and if the legislature, as you rightly predicted, continues in the same gridlock, logjam mentality, then the governor can go directly to the people. You see, governing is about leadership, and you cannot lead if you stop communicating with people, which is what Gray Davis has done.
What will your priorities be? What are you going to focus on?
My first priority is going to be changing our tax policy to end the tax dodging that's going on in California at the moment. And let me give you two specific examples. We are losing $1.3 billion a year because of tax shelters, and we are losing close to $4 billion a year because of the way commercial property taxes are unfairly assessed. And these things didn't just happen. There were loopholes that they were bought by powerful interests. I go to Sacramento as an independent, owing nothing to anyone, and therefore I have the power to do these changes and to also take them directly to the people in the form of an initiative if the legislature blocks me.
So if you're sent there by the people in a form of direct democracy, like this special election, you're going to use that same process to push your issues?
Absolutely, because flawed though the initiative process is, and I would like to see many changes there, including ending the fact that now we can collect signatures through paid signature gatherers. But flawed though the process is, it's also an incredible opportunity to connect directly with the people and have the people's will expressed.
Well, let's get a potential voter involved. Brian joins us on the line from San Francisco.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I'm actually leaning towards Arianna. I'm very much against the recall since we just had an election 8 months ago and we spent money on that. And now we're going to be spending more money when the state doesn't have it.
On the election itself?
Correct. I mean, it seems ridiculous when people are homeless and out of work to be spending 40 to 50 to whatever millions of dollars they think this thing is going to cost, especially on county levels, when they're cutting all sorts of programs right and left. And I am leaning towards Arianna. I remember when she was much more conservative. I didn't quite care for that stance. But I like what she says about getting special interests out, because I think whether it's Gray Davis or Arnold Schwarzenegger, special interest is going to be hovering all over the Capitol Dome.
Well, is there a special issue that you have concern about?
I have concern about gay marriage in the state and how she leans on that.
Arianna Huffington?
Yes, I am in favor of gay marriage. I really do not even understand why this is becoming such a hot issue, except for the fact that the right wing has usurped morality and has basically identified it with sexual morality. And one of the things I'm doing in my campaign is redefine morality to be about politics, to be about priorities, to be about all the things that we are allowing to happen to our children, to corporations that are basically defrauding the public. And these, to me, are immoral. And they affect people's lives much more than whether two individuals who are gay decide to live together as a unit.
It's a diversionary issue to get away from the real issues, and that no one's asking gay people to get married. No gay people are asking the Pope to marry us.
Right. I mean, churches and the synagogues will make their own decisions. The state has nothing to do with that. But in terms of where the state is, this is a diversionary issue.
Right. It has to do with tax issues, immigration issues. I can't sponsor a partner to immigrate into the country. I don't have the same rights, and yet I pay more taxes as a single male than married men do.
Well, Brian, I think the Pope is one of the few people not running in this election, though. did Arianna Huffington just win your vote?
I'm definitely leaning her way. I'm going to see how the next few weeks play out.
Well, and, Brian, I'm going to be...
I'm to San Francisco, Arianna.
I'm going to be there today and tomorrow. And if you go to ariannaforgov.com, you can get my schedule. And if you're able, come and we'll talk.
I'll certainly try.
Brian, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Arianna Huffington, you've just gotten two small commercials on our air, but how are you going to afford to get your name in front of the public? I've read that given all the media markets in California, it's going to cost something like $2 million a day to do television advertising.
Well, that's not our strategy. I mean, I'm running the kind of campaign I've been writing about and longing for, which is a campaign that will conduct no polls, will run no negative ads, will not be financed by the candidate, and will raise money through individual donations. At the moment, already today, we have raised over 100,000 on our website, which is why I keep repeating it.
I can imagine that's why.
And we're raising money through friends and supporters who are even maxing out, which is 21,200. So it's going to be no special interest money, and no money from the candidate. I mean, we want to show that the public is really behind this. That's one of the reasons I'm running, is to bring together people who've been feeling shut out of the process, who are mad as hell about the way our priorities are set, and I want to give them hope and give them a voice and re-engage them in the process. We really, really want to register more voters. Do you know that we have at the moment 7 million eligible voters who are not even registered. And that's a tragedy. And that Gray Davis was elected with just 17% of eligible voters. I mean, I agree that still this is not the way to deal with a democratically elected governor. I totally agree with that. But it's also a function of just how undemocratic our elections have become when so many people are not even participating.
Arianna Huffington, thanks very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Arianna Huffington is running for governor of California as an independent. She joined us from her office in Los Angeles. And you may have heard Jack Kavanaugh correct me. I may have misspoken. He says to stay on television, $2 million a week, Jack?
A week, yeah.
Okay.
And think of that as having to buy advertising in Boston, New York, Baltimore, Washington, and Atlanta. If it was on the East Coast.
And that's going to be an awful lot of money. How many, if you look at this list of candidates, Rafe Sun and Shine, how many of them are going to be able to afford to mount a major media campaign?
Very few. Again, you're down to a handful of no more than a half dozen. And also, don't forget the importance in California of direct mail, especially if your ballot position is different in every assembly district. The best piece of mail to send out is vote for number 47 on the ballot, because
right.
That's me, with a little note that says don't vote on every page, because if you do, your ballot will be invalidated. That's going to come down to direct mail, not television. And I do think only a handful of people are really serious contenders in this race. Probably, again, about a half dozen can sort of get in that game.
And, Jack, their names are going to be scattered all over this ballot, though.
That's true, and that's where the media comes into play again. You know, I do a media training when I'm not doing the website, and one of the things that I tell people is in the court of public opinion, the person or group with the more compelling story will always, always win out over the person who has all the facts on their side. So you have all these candidates, many at the top, in the polls who have really good points to make and very valid, very important positions. But unfortunately, the media doesn't follow issues. It follows a good story. And right now, Arnold is the best story going. I don't know how long that'll last, but that's what's happening right now.
We're talking about California's gubernatorial recall election, the issues in the race. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joining us now from her office in Oakland, California, is Audie Bach. She's running for governor as a Democrat and served in the California State Assembly as a Green Party member, and it's good of you to join us.
Well, hello, Neil, and thank you very much. I'd also like to thank the 1,650,000 people of California who signed the recall petition, because I have been a supporter of the recall from the beginning, and I am the only progressive Democrat with policymaking experience at state level on the ballot.
What were the issues that drove you to support the recall?
Well, I think that all of the people in California, as the huge outpouring of faith in the recall process showed, are very, very disillusioned with Gray Davis. And many people who did vote for him in the last election didn't want to. His methods have been to show himself as the lesser of two evils in every election he's been involved in. He also represents the damage done to our state by special interest policymaking. Davis is Mr. Special Interest.
You'll forgive me, but that's him as the issue. His personality and his policies is the issue. What are on the positive side? What are you going to run to accomplish?
Well, again, I have a website, bettercalifornia.org, and what I would like to do is to overturn piece by piece the special interest policies that have been put into effect. And let me start with Indian gaming. I understand that Mr. Bustamante will be largely backed by the Indian gaming interests, just as Mr. Davis is going to be backed by the AFL-CIO. Those commitments have already been made. The Indian gaming compacts, which can only be negotiated by the governor, have been very poorly done in California. California is getting only a fraction of what Connecticut is getting from only two casinos, and we have 48 casinos in California with 24 more to come. This is a $9.6 billion industry, and California is only getting $100 million flat fee.
Where do you
that needs to be redone, and it needs to be redone without the Indian tribes paying somebody to do it.
We've heard mention of the car tax, an issue that people all over the country care about, certainly in California, of all places. Where do you stand on that?
The vehicle license fee, which needed to go up because legislation existed that required that to happen if state revenues fell below a certain point, it was done way too punitively. It was done without the legislature being allowed to make the decision. This was wrong. It cannot be done as such a huge percentage rise all at once. Yes, it needs to be raised, but the way it's been done, it's going to put single mothers who have to drive to work out of a job. It's going to put students in a situation where they can't get to school. It's going to put workers out on the streets walking because the car tax is punitive. It's very regressive.
And if that's not going to go up, where are you going to get the extra revenue? We just have about a minute left. I don't mean to push you into a corner, but you're also going to have to cut spending, wouldn't you?
Yes. Well, one thing that has been an issue for some time and is in the news again today is the Delano II prison. Gray Davis has been a huge backer and backed by the Prison Guards Union, and the Delano prison is an issue that many of us voted against. It's being built at a cost of $595 million to the taxpayers of California, and we have a declining prison population. Rather than house 5,000 more prisoners in a city like Delano II, why don't we put that money into education? The priorities are upside down here.
Audie Bach, thanks very much, and good luck to you, too.
Thank you.
Audie Bach is a Democrat running for governor in California. By the way, we checked her website. Under issues, it says better schools, better environment, and better health care. Then watch this space as she unveils her missions. We'll be talking with another candidate for governor in California, a Republican, when we come back from a break. We'll also be taking more of your calls with Jack Kavanaugh and Rafe Sonnenschein. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address, TOTN at NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, we'll look at why job growth is stagnant during what's being described as an economic recovery and what can be done to create new jobs. What is the next engine of employment? That's tomorrow at this time on Talk of the Nation. Today, we're trying to look past the horse race in the California run for governor to talk about the issues that matter to voters and candidates there. How are you able to identify which candidates line up with what matters most to you? Call us at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us an email at totn@npr.org. We've already heard from two candidates for governor, Arianna Huffington, an independent, and Audie Bach, who's running as a Democrat. Joining us now from his office in Sacramento, California, is Republican State Senator and gubernatorial candidate Tom McClintock. He represents the 19th Senate District, which represents Ventura and Santa Barbara counties, as well as a slice of Los Angeles. And Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Neil.
What issues are key to you and your campaign?
Well, the very first thing I'll do upon taking office within moments of the oath of office is to rescind the governor's tripling of the car tax. If he can claim that he has the authority to raise it by fiat, then by God, I can claim exactly the same authority to lower it right back down again. The next thing I'll sign is a stipulation to the court in the case that I filed last year in Pasadena to void $42 billion of outrageously overpriced electricity contracts that Davis locked us into and that are costing Californians the highest electricity prices in the continental United States. Those contracts were negotiated under a clear conflict of interest that under state law voids those contracts. The governor will not stipulate to that, admit to that, because it requires him to admit wrongdoing. I will make that stipulation, and we will void those contracts. And then third, I'll call a special session of the state legislature to replace California's workers' compensation law with Arizona's, thereby bringing down the costs of workers' compensation by two-thirds. Those acts can be taken before lunch of the first day of the administration.
And how is that going to affect the problem of the state deficit? You know, obviously people are saying, I think Charlie Cook of the Cook Political Report was saying over the weekend that no matter what happens, if Governor Davis is recalled, you're going to have either a Democrat or a Republican cutting programs and raising taxes.
Or reorganizing the way we provide services. And that's what I intend to spend the afternoon doing, starting with the Bureaucracy Reduction and Closure Commission, modeled on the Federal Military Base Realignment and Closure Commission that successfully identified and closed 90 obsolete military bases, saving some $20 billion a year. For 7 years now, I've attempted to get the legislature to take exactly that same mechanism and focus it on a review and consolidation of state bureaucracies. The legislature, on straight party line votes, has refused to do so. But the governor can take exactly that same action through his own executive authority, and I will do so. Simply making that kind of a reorganization of state government, according to the Reason Foundation's recent study of the state's finances, would save about $6 billion a year. On top of that, if we would simply give to state government the same freedom that every household and every business takes as a matter of routine, the freedom to shop around for the best service at the lowest price, that's about $9 billion of savings across all departments, also according to the Reason and Performance Institute study of the state's finances. So there's $15 billion that can be reduced from the state budget without in any way affecting vital services. In fact, in many cases, improving the services available to the people of California.
You're one of
do that because it requires crossing the spending lobby. I will.
You're one of several Republicans running in the race, and of course, as a state senator, you're fairly well known there. But Bill Simon, who identifies himself as a conservative and is conservative on social issues as well, is in the race. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's said to be a moderate Republican and certainly very well known, is in the race. How do you distinguish yourself between those two?
Very simply, 20 years in California's public arena, proposing and fighting for the fiscal reforms that the public now realizes are essential to restore the state's finances and its economy and its public works.
Would you describe yourself as a social conservative on issues like abortion?
I'm a Jeffersonian Republican. That's the way I describe myself. I am pro-life.
And gay marriage?
I don't care what people do in their homes. I truly don't. But I don't believe that that is a fit object for approval or disapproval from government. I think the government ought to ignore it.
Well, Senator McClintock, thank you very much for your time. And as we've said to all of the other candidates, good luck to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Tom McClintock is a Republican state senator who's running for governor. That's if Gray Davis is recalled on the first part of California's complicated ballot. And still with us from California is Jack Kavanaugh, publisher of the Rough and Tumble website. He's at member station KXJZ in Sacramento. And also with us, Rafe Sonnenschein. He's on vacation, but he's normally political science professor at Cal State Fullerton and a political analyst who's been watching the race closely. You've not had a chance to get in on the conversation since we spoke with Audie Bach and Tom McClintock. Are they going to be able to get much traction, do you think, Rafe?
Yeah, a little bit at a time. They're going to create a lot of trouble, though, for their loyal voters, because without there being a party primary, how do you vote strategically in this race? Do you vote, if you're a Democrat, for example, do you vote for Audie Bach or Arianna Huffington, knowing that that will probably increase the likelihood of the Republicans winning? If you're a Republican conservative, do you vote for Tom McClintock, knowing that might encourage the chances of the Democrats? Without a party primary, the very clarity of these candidates is going to throw the voters a real curveball. Because what a primary does is allows you to do that in the primary, and then you can sort of get serious in the general election about your party choice. But I do think they'll get a hearing, because these are people who are saying much more interesting things than the leading candidates are saying right now. And as a result, that will probably lead the debate for a while.
Jack Kavanaugh, are they going to have space to make those comments, though?
Well, we've heard a lot of candidates here with a lot of platitudes, all of them telling us what they plan to do when they get to Sacramento. The reality is, Sacramento politically is in gridlock, thanks to term limits. Lawmakers in the legislature are constantly running for re-election and, by the way, asking special interests almost weekly for campaign contributions. So maybe it does come down to what Arnold talks about as the outsider, as leadership. Does he have a dazzling enough personality to be able to twist some political arms to actually get something moving through the gridlock in the legislature? And can Arianna do that? Can Audie Bach do that? Can Tom McClintock do that? Tom, by the way, has been in the legislature for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some more listeners involved. Gershon, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, joins us from Mountain View, California.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with views of both Arianna Huffington and Peter Camejo, the Green candidate. And I'm wondering if your commentators could have any ideas as to any distinctions between the two of them in their views.
Jack?
There has been some speculation in the press that one would endorse the other, and I think that could be a possibility. The question is, who does it first?
Rafe, do you have any distinction between the two?
I think they're probably so close relative to the other candidates that I think Jack's observation is exactly right. I think one of them will probably move into the camp of the other, and it's hard to know who, but they're very close together.
Okay. Is that it, Gershon?
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate the phone call.
One other thing, don't discount the Green Party, because that was Ralph Nader in the last presidential election.
Here's an email we've got from Michael Green, I'm sure no relation to the party, in Plantation, Florida. Given the fact that this is not a true gubernatorial election, is Governor Davis spending any campaign money to defeat the recall vote? I've not seen much coverage of his efforts to keep his political life vital. Much of what I see and hear is focused on the potential candidates. Rafe, is Governor Davis going to be spending campaign money?
Yes, and in fact, he is under different rules than everybody else, because there's unlimited fundraising for the person who's fighting against a recall. Everybody else has to follow very strict limitations on the amount they can raise from individuals. And he's clearly raising money, a lot of money from organized labor. He'll have a ton coming in. But remember, a pillar of his survival is the very chaos of the replacement election. So there's a strong argument for doing absolutely nothing right now, which is let it play out a bit. But I would not discount the possibility that he makes a dramatic appearance a couple of times between now and October 7th, both taking...
We're obviously having trouble with Rafe Sonnenschein's phone line, and we'll try to get him back up. In the meantime, I can tell you, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to another phone call. Bill joins us now from Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Hey, thanks, Neil, for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, in Australia, where I've lived for a long period of time, there's a thing called the donkey vote, which comes about when you have a lot of names, a lot of, on the ballot, a lot of people voting, and instead of voting for a name or an issue, people just vote for the person at the top of the list.
Hmm.
Is that does that happen there?
Jack?
Well, that's why we have the lottery, to rotate the who is on the top of the list, and that will be different in all the assembly districts in California. That was the specific reason, because your caller is right. I think there was some studies that show that top of the list gets you 15% of at least the eyeballs looking at the vote.
I mean, most people seem to be thinking that the issues are going to carry, and if your survey was right, the issues are not going to be as important as how many times you appear on the top of the list.
I think celebrity is going to carry more than issues, frankly.
Well, I mean, if everybody can read the ballot, I don't know how many people in California can read or cannot read, but if you have 200 names by number...
By law, in Contra Costa County, the ballot must be printed in 5 languages.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, that must mean they're going to have a lot of ballots.
Yes, indeed. Bill, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We had a measure in California called Big Green years ago. It was 23,000 words. I know that because I put it into a word processor, and that literally had to be translated into other languages in some districts in California.
Let's go now to Marcia, who's with us from Carlsbad, California.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm just another dismayed Democratic voter from Southern California. You know, I see these severe, we have severe cuts in our local school district this year to the extent that the Encinitas School District will not have bus service this year. It was eliminated completely because we don't have the money. So 400 children are going to have to find a way to get to school this year, and it's just so dismaying to me that we're spending money on this recall when we have severe, severe issues with not only education, but certainly other things in the state right now.
Well, Jack Kavanaugh, how are the educational issues going to be presented, do you think, in this race? I mean, it is, as Marcia says, it's a question of money at this point.
I don't think they are. I honestly don't think they are. I think the issue is going to, I keep harping on this, but it keeps coming back to two issues, the recall itself and the frustration that your caller, and it's very valid, expresses. And the other issue is going to be celebrity. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, in California we have an industry out of taking little pieces of plastic and turning them into $20 CDs and making money out of that. That industry is what's now tapped into this campaign. So it's going to be celebrity and the recall, as I see it, as the main issues. Yeah. Although, we still got some time. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen between now and the election.
If I can make one more point, too, are we all forgetting Arnold Schwarzenegger and his famous movie, Pumping Iron? I mean, do we really want that man as governor of the state?
Apparently, the last poll I saw, 41% said yes. So,
it's another folly for California that this gentleman who decided to announce his candidacy on the Jay Leno show is, you know, it's all another show, and it's very sad when we have severe issues. And my last point is, and I do hold Bush accountable to some degree, when he gets up and announces to the country that no child will be left behind, well, I say, yes, that if you can say that, but yet we have 400 children that are going to be left behind unless they can find a way to get to school.
Well, Marcia, thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
I guess we've got Rafe Sonnenschein back on the line. Are you there?
I think I am.
Okay.
You can hear me.
We just have a minute left, so I'm going to give you the last word since we had telephonic problems with your connection. Do you think that the length of this campaign, a very short by American standards, is that going to affect the time available to discuss these issues?
Well, I think there's plenty of time to discuss the issues if there's the will to do it. If this election were being held in March, we'd be bored with the issues by the time of the election.
Mm-hmm.
Time itself is not the factor. I think the factor is the window that the celebrity factor has created. And I think we're all sort of tapping our feet, waiting for that to wear down a bit so that there can actually be discussion about how the people of the state want to raise money and spend it, which is really all a state does in the grand scheme of things. And I have a lot of confidence. I think with about 3 weeks to go, it's going to be a real campaign. on all sides, and there's going to be a lot of issue discussion.
We'll check back in, I am sure, between now and then. Rafe Sonnenschein, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Rafe Sonnenschein, a political science professor at Cal State Fullerton and a political analyst. He's been watching the recall election closely. He spoke with us from his vacation spot in idyllic Wheaton, Illinois. Also, thanks to Jack Kavanaugh. Thanks.
You're more than welcome.
Jack Kavanaugh, the publisher of the Rough and Tumble website. He joined us from KXJZ in Sacramento. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.